What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy back in today on a Tuesday as we get ready for... the NFL playoffs to continue. Another AFC championship for the Kansas City Chiefs. Our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, will join the program. We closed the book on college football. Took a while, but we got there, right? We're sitting here almost in the month of February, still talking college football. Is that a good thing? We'll get into that a little bit today. We'll look at the odds to win next year's championship as it pertains to the Big 12. Might surprise you a little bit. We'll have all that coming for you today. All kinds of good stuff. Got a little college basketball to talk about as well. We'll give away some HTO. We'll do all the regular great things we do. Thanks for tuning in on KFH with us here. Thanks for watching us on our video stream, if that's how you're taking us in. Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course, 12 News Connected. And thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app, where you can leave us your voice messages. It's real easy. Or if you've downloaded this and you're listening from the future, we appreciate you too. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm just reminiscing on a great national championship game last night. You know what? The 12-team CFP haters are sick this morning, because you can't tell me that Ohio State is not a deserving national champion, right, after we watched them go through the playoffs, watched them play in the national championship game. And, you know, they wouldn't have even been in the national championship game. They wouldn't even been in the 4-team playoff had everything ended the way that it usually did. So hats off to the 12-team system. Ultimately, I think it worked out, and it was a great national championship game last night.
Notre Dame wouldn't have been there either, quite frankly. Yeah. Neither one of them would have been there.
You're right.
Look, hats off to Ryan Day. I think one of the more unfairly treated coaches that I can remember, quite frankly. Hilarious beef with Lou Holtz aside, like, this dude's an incredible coach.
Yeah.
I think his winning percentage at this point is better than everybody but Newt Rockne. Like, he has his national championship. They always have the best players. They're always in position. He just hadn't been able to get the big win. So what does that mean? Andy Reid couldn't get it for what? 20 years in his career? Does that make him not a good coach? Like, sometimes we way, way, way overthink this stuff. And clearly he's one of the best. And the NFL will probably come calling. And he's an NFL guy. It's where he cut his teeth. So we'll see if he stays. But my goodness, Ohio State fans, you almost ran off Ryan Day. Like, this is why I don't like Ohio State, by the way. And this is why I don't like a lot of the big time college football programs. It's like, what are we doing here? This dude is, they're there all the time. Like, there haven't been very many coaches that win championships in college. It's kind of been dominated by a handful of guys. Give him his chance to get in there. He's always got the best players. Start there. Ohio State, that's why everybody liked them before the year, right? That's why we needed a 12-team playoff to see if that team actually was the best team. It was. Did anybody ever doubt that? Like, when the playoffs started, we're like, oh, there's Ohio State. They're probably the best team. They had a couple bad losses, one bad loss. They had one bad loss and one, was it a 1-point loss to Oregon, who was the number one team all year? That team's got to be able to win a title.
You can't glaze over, though, the one bad loss was to Michigan.
I said, like, it's one bad loss.
I know it's a bad loss, but, like, right. I mean, like, that, I mean, isn't that that's the big knock on
stupid
Ryan Day?
Right. Yeah, but that's
I'm telling you from the fan base perspective, like, that's always been the big knock on Ryan Day, was that he can't beat Michigan.
Ohio State deserves to lose him. Those fans, not everybody, but those fans deserve to lose him. Like, if you're going to hang your entire existence on whether you can beat Michigan, like, come on. Michigan won a championship last year. They had Jim Harbaugh. Like, big deal. I know it sucks to lose, but you're trying to win national championships. You're trying to be relevant. You're trying to put players in the NFL. And he's been as good at doing that now as really anybody. So you've lost some games to Michigan. This year was egregious, right? This year was the bad year in that loss. But again, so what? Like, what are you going to, what do you, I didn't even intend for this to be where I went with that great game last night.
It was a great game.
I just looked up and I saw him, you know, getting his flowers. And I'm like, man, that dude, for all the crap he takes, for some reason, like, he deserves this natty badly because he's been at the top of the game for a long time. And I don't like Ohio State. I don't even know that I like Ryan Day. I just think he's a really good coach. Notre Dame, they'll get back there. They weren't supposed to be there. I don't think very many people thought they'd get there. They made a game out of it. It looked like they were going to get steamrolled there for a minute, Tommy. They ended up actually covering the number. It took a ballsy play from Ohio State late on a third down, and Ohio and Notre Dame had a shot at tying that thing, right?
Did they cover? I don't think they covered the number. The number was,
it was
what,
eight and a half?
And Ohio State
won 11, by 11. 11. I'm sorry. I was thinking eight because they kicked that
late field goal. Yeah.
Until the late field goal, they were covering the number. Right. Yeah. Good catch there. But yeah, it took that big time call on the third down. What, an 11 to throw a bomb? Will Howard put a dime on Jeremiah Smith.
That was great.
It's a great call.
It was a ballsy call. I mean, in that moment, it was a call that, I mean, because it looked like the first couple of plays on that drive, Ohio State was content to just be pretty predictable and keep the ball on the ground and try to drain as much clock. And you're thinking, man, this happens all the time. They're going to get stopped. They're going to punt it away. Notre Dame down by eight with 2 minutes left or two and a half or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, man, just Will Howard just dropped a dime to Jeremiah Smith.
Great pass.
And you know, that was something, and again, like, it goes back to what you were talking about with Ryan Day. Like, he was willing to pull the trigger on a play like that and just absolutely put his foot on the throat of Notre Dame, and it worked out.
We buried the lead there. Shout out to Will Howard. That's obviously what we were watching the most. He had a fantastic game. He was an effective runner. Just four incompletions on the night. Efficient. You know, used his weapons the way he should use his weapons because he has more of them than any team in the country, and they win a national championship. And so we get the dust settling on a college football season unlike any we've ever seen, not just because of the 12-team playoff, which mattered. Will Howard, a chance to redeem himself from a moment this season against Oregon he'd like to forget that in a normal year would have kept them out. Right. You know, not having great clock management at one point. So it's all there, and we're going to talk about all of it. I want to talk about what it means moving forward into next year, too, because I do think there are things that can easily and quickly be corrected by the format to make this thing better. Real easy fixes. And I think, you know, whether or not we like the transfer portal, Will Howard ended up at Ohio State as an older player that transferred in. Are we upset about that? Are people that don't like the transfer portal, do you not like that that was able to? And I'm not saying that as like a you're right or wrong. I'm just curious, like, especially for people around here or K-State fans, do you hate that that happened? Do you like that that happened? Are you okay that that happened? Because that's, you know, Ohio State doesn't win a national championship without Will Howard. And he was an older player that had played a lot of football in Manhattan and went and took his shot, got paid, won a natty, probably helped his NFL stock to some degree. And here we are. He sits there today as a national champion. I think that's cool. I don't have a problem with that.
Hey, I've got a lot of respect for Will Howard going in and winning a national championship with Ohio State. I do think that there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that could have walked into Ohio State with the weapons that they had and won a national championship. It's great. It's fantastic that it was Will Howard, and I'm on board with all that. I think it's great. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, any transfer quarterback out there right now should want to go and play for the Buckeyes. That's good. Sure. If you got, like, it's crazy that, you know, Carson Beck chose Miami over Ohio State, right? Like, he could easily win another national championship, you know, next season just by going and playing for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, but we talked about why he went to Miami, right?
I know.
She's not playing basketball.
I know.
Columbus. We'll be back. I don't know that any quarterback could have done it. Will Howard had a great year. We've got a lot to break down from that game. We'll do it next on Sports Business.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH and all across our Odyssey family. Always appreciate their support of the program. Tommy, we get the national champion. You mentioned Will Howard. Any quarterback could have walked in. They have had a history here going back of good quarterback play. Will Howard, C.J. Stroud before that. Of course, Justin Fields before that. And then Dwayne Haskins before that in the most recent years. Howard essentially matching what those guys have done. A few more interceptions than those guys, but had a great season. He was a perfect fit. We loved it the second he went there, right? It's just an opportunity for a guy who at his best could be a distributor to go and distribute to some of the better players at the skill positions that there were. It was a great fit. Credit to Ohio State for finding him. Will Howard, you know, coming off not his best year, but 2 years prior when they won the Big 12 championship, had kind of shown what he'd done, and we're happy for him. I think K-State fans are happy for him. I don't think K-State fans regret the outcome. I have heard that people are saying, oh, Will Howard could have been at K-State. I don't ever hear that personally. I think everybody thought the right decision was made to go to Avery Johnson, and all parties can win in the end with that. Happy for Will Howard. Dude put it all on the line for K-State for a long time, and we're going to see more of this. Both of these quarterbacks were transfer quarterbacks, Tommy. I mean, that's just sort of the way it is. And that's kind of the position that will always be under the microscope. But there you go.
And look, I want to be clear. I didn't say that any quarterback could come in and win a national championship with the weapons that Ohio State has. I just think there are a lot of them that probably could. Because
Do you think Riley Leonard could have?
I think he's dual threat. I think he can run the ball enough, and he's dangerous with his feet and be able to get the ball to those big-time weapons. Like, you look at guys like, of course, Jeremiah Smith and Henderson and Judkins. And, like, you know, like, there are really top-tier weapons that Ohio State has. In fact, you know, from what I can tell, a large portion of them are back next season for the Buckeyes. You know, and so I don't exactly know what the quarterback situation looks like at Ohio State. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure that there's a high profile transfer yet.
No clue.
Going to Ohio State. I don't think that that's the case. But my point is that, yeah, it's fantastic that it's Will Howard, and he was the right quarterback at the right time for Ohio State. Will Howard, with all due respect, is not a unicorn, right? He's not like the only guy that could have come in and led them to a national championship. He fits a great profile, and he complemented those weapons extremely well. I think there are a decent amount of quarterbacks out there that could probably do that next season. It doesn't take anything at all away from Will Howard. Do not get me wrong. I'm not trying to discredit him whatsoever. I'm happy for him. It was the right spot for him to go to after leaving K-State. And honestly, he was the right quarterback for Ohio State to go to.
Yeah, I think he's stylistically what they need with the roster that they have. And that's why it was such a good fit. It's just because his skill set fit it so well. You brought up like three or four things that I do want to get into here. One of them is, do they have a transfer quarterback coming in? I have no idea. So here's, as we talk about like, okay, the dust has settled, we're through this first year, what can we do to make this better? And you ask that question, I think that's a problem right now for college football, is that we're even, like, that we would even know that information before the championship game is played. And it's not unique to college football. We have coaching cycles and changes happening right now in the NFL. We don't have free agency happening. The transfer portal is essentially turning into free agency. College athletics must get out in front of this stuff happening before the final game has been played, for a lot of reasons. Like, I think the biggest, most fundamental thing that needs to change with the format after we see it in year one that's clearly better and helps better determine a champion is we have to get to that title game quicker, and we can't let the chaos of roster construction happen in the time between the end of the season and now. Like, that window cannot be open. There's always going to be backhanded deals and those things kind of be made. But if you're looking for something to enforce, if you're the NCAA, we can't let the transfer portal open before the end of the season. Now, the end of the season should come much, much quicker than it does. That's the easiest fix, Tommy. Just start the games the week after the season ends, and we should be playing this game 2 weeks ago, at maximum 2 weeks ago. Like the, whatever the closest Saturday following the your New Year's Day bowl games that you feel like you must play for some reason in college football, that should be when we play the national championship. Like, we shouldn't be playing it on January 20th.
I actually kind of liked it. I kind of liked that we had a national championship game on the 20th.
No, but I honestly, like, I'll be curious to see the ratings. I think the buzz of college football is so dead because everybody's talking about the NFL now. And I really don't like that we have to wonder, like, it's crazy that college football fans outside, like, we're all watching the game to some degree, but are we really locked in like we would be if this thing was done a long time? I don't think
we are. I mean, I was. Now, I'll be honest. I wasn't leading up to the game because I agree with you. I think the buzz was, you know, fairly quiet leading into the game because everybody's into the full swing of NFL playoffs and, you know, all of that. But once kickoff happened, man, I was locked into the national championship game. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know that it's the last hurrah in college football until Labor Day, right? And so I think that that was a big portion of it. There wasn't a single part of me that, as I'm watching that game last night, I'm watching Notre Dame's comeback and, you know, the final 3 or 4 minutes of the game that I thought, man, I would like this game a whole lot more if it was 2 weeks earlier.
Well, I think most people are like, we'll see what happens with the ratings. I could be wrong about that. I just think the buzz could be much higher if it came quicker. And I think it's, and I just don't like that we wait that long. I don't understand why we wait that long. And then the other part of it is what you mentioned. Like, did they bring, I don't know if they brought somebody in, but too many of the fans have turned the page already. We're allowing fans to not like celebrate the championship as much as this madness starts immediately on who can you go get and how can you get this player and how much are they, like, you can do that. Like, if we started that 2 weeks ago, right after you play, like the Monday after the national championship game, you can open the portal. Like, all right, portal's open. Let's get down to business. You'd still have, you know, the deals getting done behind closed doors. Probably, I mean, you try to enforce it. You should, but I don't think we should let it go. I mean, that's a month of news basically that happens before you get to crown your champion, and not just news, like, significant news that most fan bases that aren't Ohio State and Notre Dame are far more concerned with than crowning the champion. Could you imagine if we started the NFL free agency period right after the end of the regular season? I mean, that's insane.
Yeah,
right?
I don't.
Isn't that the stupidest idea ever?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, I feel like there should be a window that opens, you know, now, and you're able to, you know, make those moves once the season is done. But yeah, as you're in the middle of bowl season and then you're in this 12-team bracket and all of that, and you've got a bunch of portal news that's sprinkled in, like who's leaving, who's entering the portal while the season is still being played, I'm not a fan of that. Going, I really want to mention this and bring this up because I had this thought as the game was going on last night. I don't know if you thought this at all. I'm a big Marcus Freeman fan. I always have been.
How could you not be?
But man, I don't know. I felt like the lights shone a little too bright on him last night. I felt like there were some moments that Notre Dame probably could have had a better opportunity getting back in the game had the coaching decisions been a little bit better. And it doesn't mean that he's a bad coach. He's a great coach. This was the biggest moment of his entire coaching career. And I think that they'll be back, and I think that he'll be able to develop Notre Dame into hopefully a perennial team that makes the playoff and can make a run at a national championship. But, man, there were a few moments last night that I thought, you know, you get out of your own way a little bit more, Notre Dame, like you would be, I think, having a better opportunity to potentially pull off this upset.
Yeah, I guess I don't think so because I thought they were way, 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 way outmatched in that game. I was actually surprised, honestly, that I thought it was going to go more of the way it was at halftime than it was at the end of the game. I actually give them some credit for bouncing back because I think Ohio State has way more firepower than Notre Dame.
You're not wrong.
Notre Dame's season was impressive. I mean, first opportunity at the game. If I had gone into the game thinking, all right, Notre Dame, get this win. I mean, I wanted them to, but I never thought that was going to happen. So maybe that's part of it for me that like takes that away a little bit. of like, yeah. I mean,
at one point in the second half, they're down 21, and it's a 4th-and-1, and they try a fake punt. Everybody in the world knows that you got to go for it at that point. So yeah. Why not just use your best dudes like Riley Leonard to go for it instead of a fake punt that everybody in the stadium knew was coming and Ohio State, you know, shut that down. I think the decision to kick a field goal late in the game that field goal missed. Again, you've got a few minutes left. You're trying to have a comeback here. You can convert, I feel like, you know, on a 4th. There were some 4th-down decisions that I didn't agree with from Marcus Freeman that I felt like he could have put his team in a better spot to ultimately pull off that comeback. I thought, again, I think Marcus Freeman is
totally fair.
I think he's a phenomenal coach. I just felt like some of those decisions, like maybe if you're in that spot a little bit later on in your career, you've been there before, maybe you don't quite make those decisions the same way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're definitely second guessing. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I just didn't think they were going to be there anyway. So I'm kind of impressed they made a game of it. All right. So Ohio State, you mentioned all the players coming back. That's something else I want to get into. They're the odds on favorite. Texas, Oregon, Georgia. Those are the 4 teams right now. Ohio State's actually a moderate. They kind of have a heavy favorite, 450. Texas, the next closest, is at 650. So I'm CBS Sports put this out. That's what I'm looking at this morning. And I go down, and I think this is the top 20 teams. Not a Big 12 team to be found. What do you make of that? The Big 10 this year had a great year, had the best year by far, not just because they won the championship. They backed it up in the postseason. They had a much better record than all the other conferences combined in the postseason. This was their year. This was the Big 10's year. There's no doubt about it. The Big 12 is not represented on that list on Vegas. Vegas doesn't put any Big 12 team, which has it's what's crazy about it. There is a path, right? If the Big 12 is down next year, that should, in theory, make it easier for a team to at least be represented in the playoff, a 12 team playoff. There's not any team in the top 20.
Yeah, I think that I don't put a ton of stock into that at this moment, the day after the national championship game, because I think that it's more of an indictment on the conference as a whole than it is on any individual team. I mean, like, you've got to at least right away think about BYU and Arizona State, the two teams that were there this season, you know, returning. And I have no idea what their programs look like as far as returners and all of that next season. I think Kansas State, of course, like, we'll talk about them having an opportunity to make it in. And then there are other teams like Colorado and West Virginia potentially and Oklahoma State, you know, depending on what happens with them. Like, I think that there are some other teams out there. Texas Tech is probably one, too, that you could probably point at. But I don't put a whole lot of stock into what Vegas is putting out there the day after the national championship game.
So I just jumped over to BetMGM. Arizona State at 90-1.
We're talking about winning a national championship, right?
Like, winning a national championship.
Not odds to make the 12-team playoff.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, I would bet every one of these teams if that was the case. No, to win it. 90-1 Arizona State. Baylor actually comes in at the same as Kansas State and Kansas. Okay, so 125-1 right now. You want to talk about getting out in front of something, 125-1
to win the national championship.
To win a national championship.
Yeah, I'm not touching any of that. I mean,
that's crazy.
I get it, but do we think that that's even in the realm of possibility that any of these Big 12 teams? I'm not even talking about them making the playoff. I'm talking about winning a national championship.
I mean, come on. Once you get there, I don't think. Yeah, you just have to be able to get there. I mean, Arizona State had every opportunity to beat Texas. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
And then, Arizona State would have been blown out by Ohio State.
Maybe. What if Arizona State was healthy, though? You know what I mean? Like, what if they didn't lose their top 2 wide receivers with that young talent they had? I think they would have had a chance.
I mean, read off those top 4 teams again that you mentioned.
Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Oregon. Basically the same top 4 we had this year.
Do we think that any Big 12 team in a 12-team playoff would have a chance in hell to be any one of those 4 teams? Because as of
in
right now,
game?
I don't think so.
Yes.
As of right this moment, I mean, I don't think that that's the case.
Arizona State, a hobbled and injured Arizona State, almost beat Texas this year. I mean, it almost happened. Arizona State had every opportunity to win that game. They were down 2 of their top weapons. one of their, I mean, for sure, top weapon. And the other guy got hurt in the game. It may have been three of them down. So I'm not saying I would. I mean, I probably will at some point if it stays at 125-1. I'll probably take a swing with Avery Johnson. Why not? But I mean, you've got to. The problem is you got to win three of those games, right? You got to win it. You got to do that three times, and you got to get through one, and then get through the other, and get through the other. So, and I bring that up only to say, like, everybody thinks this is going to change so much when we do the transfer portal, when we do the 12-team playoff, and we do all this. Every college football season we go into, we really feel like there are only a handful of teams that have a chance to really win a national championship. Has that really changed? I don't know that it has. I think it's getting closer to change than it used to be. I don't know where this ends up in 5 years from now. But when the dust settles and you look at it, even with a chance to make the playoff, the Big 12's chances without Texas and Oklahoma to win a national championship are probably what they always have been, right? Which is very, very, very long shot chances. Not much has changed. We all act like this is going to wreck this sport we've loved and done. No, probably not. Like, this is kind of where we thought we'd be. This is where we generally are at the end of a college football season. We just had a whole lot more fun getting there because teams had a chance to do it.
Yeah, there wasn't a single moment last night as I was watching the game and watching two transfer quarterbacks lead their team where I was shaking my fist to the clouds or gnashing my teeth. Like, what has this sport become? It was a great football game, and I never one time, you know, thought, well, this is ruining the sport of college football. It was exactly, in fact, it was a more competitive game than what we've seen in a lot of recent national championship games. Yes. in recent years. You know, we didn't much see a 65-7 blowout or, you know, whatever that we've been accustomed to in the national championship game. Now, it was trending that way.
It's getting close.
It was trending that way at halftime.
Yeah.
That's a credit to Notre Dame for sure. So I don't want my earlier criticism of Marcus Freeman to come across that I think that, you know, he's a bad coach, because he did lead that team, you know, to a comeback when it very easily could have went the other direction for Ohio State. I mean, I think that this system, that this entire format, it showed, at least in my mind, that it worked. I think it validated the fact that we're moving into a world and an era, and that we're already there in college football, where we've got 12 teams competing for a chance to win a national championship. Can there be tweaks in that system? Sure. And I think that there probably will be, to make it even better. It's never going to be perfect, but to make it even better. And I think that the two best teams, clearly, I think we're represented. And two most deserving teams were represented. They won their games in the bracket. They're playing for a national championship. And I think Ohio State, you know, showed that they are absolutely a worthy national champion.
Again, I love comparing the narratives we put with college football to other sports. Could you imagine even entertaining the idea? Yeah, the Commanders, they didn't earn it in the regular season. They didn't earn it in the regular season. Like
remember that? Well, of course you remember it. The World Series of the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Like, anybody want to say, hey, we shouldn't have played the World Series because they were wild card teams?
They lost games in the regular season. They didn't earn that opportunity. Get out of town. So happy we have the playoff. We'll come back. Speaking of the Commanders, let's talk about the NFL playoffs and return on Sports Daily. It's all Brock and Caster. Don't go away.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you here with us. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now by texting in the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a chance to win a free iced tea and a free rain coffee drink. Root beer is back. If you're a root beer fan, that's a good way to try it out. Just win this contest. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. These are good for either Wichita location or in Derby. Again, text keyword T to 20357. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Tommy was out yesterday, hasn't had a chance to react to the NFL playoffs, which delivered in the NFL divisional round like they almost always do. Left standing, Commanders, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs. The Commanders are the only non 1 or 2 seed, Tommy, that are there after an impressive win in their game against the Lions. Jaden Daniels is that dude. There's no question about that. I think they've got a a great shot to beat the Eagles there. These are two conference championship games I think we can get behind and, you know, get on board with in a lot of different ways, but the divisional round was fantastic. It was great, as it almost always is.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Every single game was a blast. I know that we had a couple of weather games in there, but I mean, God, that was a lot of fun to watch. You know, the Bills and the Ravens, that delivered for sure. You know, the Eagles and Rams game, that was fun in the snow, and the Rams very nearly were able to get back into it. And yeah, the Commanders absolutely shocking the Lions. And look, we've talked about it before. Jaden Daniels is a stud in his rookie year. I've been a huge fan of his coming out of college for sure. And I think we talked about it last week, that Dan Quinn gets a lot of crap around the league because of what happened in that one Super Bowl against Tom Brady and the Patriots. And he is a solid coach. Cliff Kingsbury gets a lot of crap because he had a bad tenure as the head coach of the Cardinals. He's a solid offensive coordinator. And you add both of those guys in to Jaden Daniels, and then, you know, Terry McLaurin, who doesn't get the attention that he deserves because he's been on a bad Washington team for a long time. You've got, you know, potentially a future Hall of Famer in Zach Ertz at tight end. Like, they've got the weapons, I think, to be able to go and challenge the Eagles, and there's a lot of motivation to do so. I really like the Commanders in this game.
Yeah, I do too. I certainly like the number. The Eagles are becoming like this least talked about good team. And they probably love that. They have dynamic playmakers all over the place. They don't have a great passing quarterback. We get it. But they have a really good defense. And they've got a great running back, a couple great receivers. They're loaded. They got a good offensive line. They're loaded. Jalen Hurts just isn't a prolific passer. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm excited about it. Who do you think the biggest, to go back for a second, I'm not trying to use the word loser, because that's not what my intention is. Who lost the most, do you think, in the divisional round? I think there are a lot of good candidates. The Lions, after the regular season that they had, certainly a candidate. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, certainly a candidate. The Rams, who knows how much their window is open and they feel like they had a shot there. Like, what do you think, you know, the outcome was, the worst outcome for any of these teams?
I think it has to be Detroit. And I get the argument about Lamar and the Ravens and all of that. Lamar is young enough and the Ravens are talented enough that I think that he'll get there. I think it makes it obviously harder every single year that you don't, and the pressure mounts. But the overall, I think, team expectations, and I know Detroit, they were beat up by injuries on the defensive side and all of that. But they were, I think, the most likely team outside of Kansas City to win a championship, to win a Super Bowl, going not only throughout the season, but actually going into the season. And they lived up to the hype and they overcame those injuries. And, you know, I think that they were probably the people's choice, you know, going into the playoffs. Sure. Like, people want to see Detroit make it happen and all of that. I think that that was the most disappointing out of all of it, because nobody saw the Commanders at this point. And then they come in and they upset Detroit. You take a look at Baltimore and Buffalo, and Buffalo's really, really damn good. And so, yeah, like, you can point at Lamar and say it's disappointing that you didn't make it, and is it going to happen for you? But, man, they played, just a phenomenal team on the road in Buffalo. So it's hard for me to really fault Lamar a whole lot and say that he was disappointing. I think it was really Detroit letting it down.
I mean, let's be fair to Washington. Like, they won 12 games in the regular season.
But I'm saying at the start of the year, like, nobody had Washington in this place.
No. And they're very similar, honestly. Like, I think that the Ravens lost more, because I think the Ravens were more only because of the injuries Detroit was facing on the defensive side of the ball. I think we were fooled a little bit by the performance they had against the Vikings. That was, like, the only good performance they've had in forever. And now we see the Vikings kind of come out flat twice and everything else. I think it was too much of an uphill climb to expect them to be able to score 50 every game in the postseason. So the sad thing for both of those franchises is, and both of those fan bases, is it's mistakes that cost them both games. The turnovers for Detroit, the turnovers plus Mark Andrews with a couple critical late mistakes for the Ravens. So even, you know, with the adversity they had faced and all these things, like, they both feel like they probably ought to be there right now. Like, they both feel like they should be in this next spot. And that makes it tougher to swallow. So I would probably say the Ravens, because I think you're starting to, we're not starting to, we're square in the middle of this legacy conversation for Lamar Jackson. And he did have two critical mistakes in that game.
He did, but he didn't lose the game for the Ravens.
No, I
feel bad a little bit for him, because it's going to grow this narrative of playoff Lamar. And yeah, there were a couple of bad, I mean, he put the ball on the ground and inexcusable and all of that. But I mean, Mark Andrews cannot drop that 2-point conversion. Like, he can't do that. And Mark Andrews put the ball on the ground too. Like, that's only the second fumble that Mark Andrews has had in his career. You Great. Can't do it in that spot. And so I actually kind of feel a little bad for Lamar, because
I feel way bad.
It certainly
Lamar.
Didn't help the conversation as far as him not being able to get it done in the playoffs. But he wasn't the number one reason that the Ravens lost that game. I certainly don't think
he was. His fumble was as bad. The timing was different, but it was just as bad as Andrews. It was just as impactful. And the other thing is, like, their mistake. Detroit still would have allowed 38 points, even without a pick six. That defense allowed 38 points to the Commanders. That's what I mean about Detroit. Like, I don't think their defense was going to hold up and win enough games for be able, they would have had to play perfect offense and honestly probably score 40 points a game. I mean, that's what you were asking of that offense. That's pretty wild. Baltimore, it's right there. They had the best defense going in. They had the same number of wins, by the way, Baltimore does, as Washington in the regular season. So they just were playing so well going in. And even with the mistakes that they made, they still almost went into Buffalo and won it. This was the year for Baltimore. You didn't have the questions about, boy, did they run the ball enough? Like, they were running the ball effectively. They had kind of a three-headed running attack, and everybody was running it effectively. Derrick Henry picked up his steam in the second half like he does. Like,
They got away from it, though, a little bit in the first half.
Because Justin Hill was averaging like 10 yards a carry. Like, it was working.
No, I'm saying they got away early in the game, like in the first half, they got away from the run. Like, there was a period of time
they fell behind,
and I thought to myself, man, this is going to test some discipline here from John Harbaugh, because it would be really tempting to just try to throw the ball to get back in the game, but that's not where their strength lies. And sure enough, there were a couple of drives where they didn't lean on Derrick Henry, and I think that was a big reason why they fell behind and the turnovers didn't help either. I know Lamar threw an interception also in the game, but they needed to ground and pound early in the game. And I get it. You fall behind. I think were they down two scores at one point in the first
21-10.
Okay. So, you know, it would have been really tempting to go away from Derrick Henry, and they did for a minute. Now they got back to it in the second half, and then sure enough, they get right back into the game. You can't do that. You can't do that early on in the game. You've got to stay with what worked for you. You've got to dance with the girl that you took to the prom, and that's what they didn't do with Derrick Henry. And that's ultimately, you go back to a year ago when they played Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, they got away from Derrick Henry. They did not run the ball with him, and it was just shocking that they did that.
Well, they didn't have Derrick Henry when they played.
They got away from the run game.
They got away from the run game. Yeah. So that's what I meant. Justice Hill, though, I mean, part of the reason was Justice Hill was effective. And I wondered the same thing. I was like, well, he just keeps gaining 7-8 yards. They ran it more than they threw it in the game. Like, they had more runs than passes in the game. So did Buffalo. But just to look at it and think, like, they outgained Buffalo by a significant margin, which I know happened in every one of these games, and it emphasizes turnovers. That's very clear. But like, here's the other thing, and I brought this up yesterday. I think, as much as I've liked the Bills and I picked the Bills in that game and all those things, I think it's great news for the Chiefs that the Bills won that game, because when you look at what the Ravens do and what they do well, that is sort of what you don't necessarily want to see the Chiefs defensively match up with. Like, a quarterback that can really run, and I know Josh Allen can run too, but a quarterback that can really run like that and great tight end play has kind of given the Chiefs some fits. Like, I think Buffalo is a better matchup for, as Superman as Josh Allen can be, I think Buffalo is the better matchup for Kansas City. And I could see, like, I could kind of see it happening in the game. I'm like, man, if you're a Chiefs fan, I think you want Buffalo to win this game right now. Like, Baltimore is explosive.
I don't disagree.
They are really good defensively. And that was a win for the Chiefs. We'll ask Dan Israel that question. I'm curious to get his take on it, if he agrees, because that's a, it's a crazy thing to even say out loud that you'd rather see Josh Allen, right? In his history, he's got a winning record against Patrick Mahomes, all the things that Josh Allen brings to the table. It's not like Josh Allen has lost these games. It's not been because of him in the postseason. It's always a dangerous proposition. And they do, they are playing well, obviously. And they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. We'll see if they can get one in the postseason. I don't think they will. I think the Chiefs will win that game. We'll dig into that as we make our way through the show too. But man, it just, like, Baltimore, that's why Baltimore feels like one really got away from them in a year where they were in a position, I thought, to win a Super Bowl.
And look, I don't think that that window is gone for Baltimore. I mean,
No.
I think that you could be a little concerned going into the year, like, how much does Derrick Henry have left in the tank? I think he showed that he's still got a good amount in the tank. Like, he probably doesn't have 5 years, you know, doing it, but at least he's at least got another one, I would think, in his back pocket, maybe a couple more. So I don't think that window fully with the offense that we've seen built in Baltimore is out the door. And, you know, looking at their pending free agents, like, the majority of their weapons are back next year. They don't have a bunch. Like, I think the most high profile offensive free agent is, like, Nelson Aguilar is a free agent. Like, okay, sounds good. Yeah. Like, they're getting everybody back. I feel like they'll be okay and they'll be right back in contention next season. So I don't feel like it's the end of the world for Baltimore, although it does grow that narrative of Lamar Jackson not being able to get it done.
But Buffalo's going to get better next year, I think. Kansas City's going to be better next year. And Lamar, like, if you think he can replicate maybe the best quarterback season we've ever seen before, then yeah. But, like, it's not going to get any easier either for them, because Buffalo and Kansas City both stand in their way. And those have sort of been the three teams. I think both of those teams are going to get better next year. Kansas City, we're only now seeing Kansas City healthy. And they still don't have Rashi Rice. Like, their arrow's pointed up too, whether people want to like it or hate it or admit it or not. Like, they've got an arrow pointed up. We'll have Dan Israel in next hour to help break it all down. It'll be a fun second hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster. We got a lot coming for you. Here we go.